Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Phil Campbell as my special expert guest. Phil Campbell is the author of Ready, Set, Go Fitness, an extremely comprehensive fitness training manual targeted at five major areas of fitness: flexibility, endurance, strength, power, and anaerobic conditioning. Phil is a competitive master's athlete and holds several USA track and field master's titles, including first place in the 100-meter sprint at the Southeastern U.S. Championships for his age group in the year 2000. In 2003, he won the 200 meters and discus, placed second in the 100 meters, and set the meet record in the javelin during the USA Masters Track and Field Tennessee Championships. After earning two master's degrees and a 20-year career as a healthcare administrator that included serving as a division president with eight hospitals under his command, Phil returned to writing about fitness, improving athletic performance, anti-aging, and anti-middle aging. In Ready, Set, Go Fitness, Phil takes the latest research in the biomedical disciplines of exercise science, medicine, nutrition, endocrinology, and fitness for specific age groups, and presents a research-supported system designed to improve the reader's health. Using his years of experience wisely, Phil is able to take complex medical subjects and make them understandable and practical. His book teaches how to improve fitness step by step, and how to increase energy, and how to lose, cut, and tone. Phil, it's great to have you on the show, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update.
Well, Corey, it's certainly a great pleasure to be with you here today.
Let's talk about your 20-year career as a healthcare administrator. How did you get involved in this line of work, Phil?
Well, Corey, I actually started in health back in the early 1970s. I began working at a gym to clean up the equipment at night, and that provided a gym membership while I was in high school, and I continued in that area while I was in college. I played a little football in college, but also I worked at gyms, managed gyms, did personal training really for 35 years now, and so that had me very interested in health. And then I took a 20-year deviation to jump on the management side of it. I managed hospitals, and I've started heart surgery programs before, and hired and fired heart surgeons. In my last assignment before stopping to do the book, I was managing eight hospitals with 3,000 physicians on staff. And so I've really always been into health, although I did take a 20-year diversion to specialize on the sick care delivery side of it rather than the wellness side.
Now, with your experience in the hospital setting, I know it's a tough cut for the physicians. There is a tremendous need to respond to emergency medical care patients. If you were given absolute control over the administration of a hospital, what changes would you suggest or incorporate?
Well, obviously, there's a huge missing gap on the wellness side. We spend millions of dollars taking care of people, typically on the last 5 days of life. And, we have this huge crisis in obesity. There are health problems all over the world, even in Africa. Many times people think of, we see these starving children in Africa, but there's an obesity problem even in Africa. And, these are all preventable conditions. They're typically, they have inexpensive cures, if you will. But yet we've decided as society for some reason that we put all the money, all the effort on the sick side of it. And obviously there are many benefits from that, and we need to continue with providing health care for people. But at the same time, we're just missing the boat when it comes to keeping people from having to go in the hospital in the first place.
So you see a need for change and reform. I think many of us in the wellness industry do. But until such time, I guess what we can do is get the education in the hands of the people. And in Ready, Set, Go Fitness, I mean, you've really done an outstanding job. It's a great piece of literature. Now, I've got the book in my hand right now. I'm looking at your photograph. I mean, you just look sensational. It says right on the cover, you're age 50. So you've really set a great example of what is possible.
Well, Corey, that's a real compliment coming from you, because I really consider you as one of the foremost sports nutrition experts in the world. it may be the number one guy. And when I read the things that you've written, it's common sense. It has a great approach, and more people need to be involved in what you're doing and to get your newsletter and to get your reports, because they're wonderfully written. They have a common sense feel to them, and people will understand what you write. So a compliment like that coming from you is really, really meaningful to me. And thank you very much about that. I haven't always been as thin. In fact, I was at one time, I was kind of a fat fitness guy, because I went through the middle age bulge or blimp out, as some people call it, middle age spread. I picked up some weight. When I was jogging about 35 miles a week, I weighed about 230 pounds, and my dad died at 50 of a massive heart attack. And as a result, I had to take some cholesterol medicine. And even though I really ate well, I had high cholesterol. I couldn't keep my body weight down until I added the anaerobic component to my fitness program. And then without a lot of dietary changes, the body weight dropped. I usually maintain about 9% body fat without a lot of diet restriction at all. I eat good foods. I have three children, so sometimes, most of the time, I'll eat what my kids eat. And it's a diet of moderation, but when you add that anaerobic exercise component, it really does some wonderful things to your body that you just simply can't get when you do the low-intensity or even moderate-intensity exercise.
Now, when looking at your book, you know, you come to chapter one, you stress what you call the fitness hormone, and throughout the book, you constantly stress the importance of high-intensity, short-burst anaerobic exercise. Why the focus on that, Phil?
Well, when you look at fitness hormone, that's really just a term that describes the role of growth hormone during aging. What growth hormone does is it's the same substance that makes us grow tall, but once we reach our full height, growth hormone continues to be released by the pituitary gland, and it does some wonderful things for your body, but it actually changes roles once we reach our full height, and that's where it really should be called the fitness hormone. I've been on numerous radio talk shows, and someone would call in and say, I know you're talking about growth hormone and telling me all these great things that it will do about pulling off 28 pounds of body fat off of somebody that weighs 200 pounds on average case, not best case, but average case, puts on lean muscle mass, does all kinds of wonderful things for you. And most people have heard about a lot of the actors that are taking growth hormone injections, and they may have friends that are taking growth hormone injections, and they hear about the miraculous type of results, which are true, but you can get identically the same thing from the body from anaerobic exercise. So if you exercise anaerobically with a high-intensity, short-burst, get-you-out-of-breath type of exercise, then what the researchers show is that you can increase growth hormone 530%, and that's almost like going down to the endocrinologist and getting a shot of growth hormone, and you can do it almost daily.
Now, here in Canada, unless you've been diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency, we are not allowed to have access to growth hormone for injection. But in America, many physicians are prescribing this under the title of life extension. Isn't that correct?
Well, what they're doing, like you can drive in California right now, and you'll see billboards by physicians advertising, come to me for your growth hormone injections. And what they do is basically say publicly, at least at this point in time, they're saying, you know, what we need to do, you may not be a candidate for growth hormone injections, but come on down, we'll give you a test. Well, essentially, everyone over age 35, to some degree, is deficit of growth hormone. So even someone lean and in shape can be deficit of growth hormone in the current test. And that's unfortunate because there are definite side effects. But right now, doctors can say to patients, here are your risks. Some are serious, like acromegaly. If, you know, some young bodybuilders typically will get a condition where their jawbones will grow and it will give them a permanent Neanderthal-type look over a period of time if they have a normal production of growth hormone and they supplement it. But when the middle-aged folks and older, they usually don't get that condition. But today, there are not that many studies that say, you know, it's dangerous. But there's one study in mice that clearly shows that too much growth hormone from injections will increase the liver, a chance for liver cancer. But the problem is that study's not borne out in humans. But once it does, then doctors will have to take a second look and really be much more cautious on how freely they give growth hormone injections. And Corey, right now, every time I go to a book signing, someone will come up to me, and almost invariably they'll kind of lean over and whisper, and they'll say, you know, I have a friend that's going to an endocrinologist, you know, 2 hours away or whatever, and they lost 30 pounds in just a few months. Is that possible with growth hormone injections? And they say they feel great. They feel 20 years younger. And I say, yes, that's what growth hormone does. And growth hormone injections will truly do that, but yet there are those risks. There's that study in mice that show that at some point in time that adults, it's, you know, not proven at this point, but it's going to be. I mean, you just know when you see that study that at some point in time, that's going to be borne out in humans to show that there's an increased propensity for liver cancer. And that's what growth hormone does. It will pull off body fat. On average case, it will pull off 28 pounds of body fat off of someone that weighs 200 pounds. It will put on about 8% lean muscle mass. But the great news is you can do it completely naturally. Your body itself will produce that growth hormone if they'll just add anaerobic exercise to their fitness program.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the biochemistry of growth hormone. Where does it come from in the body? How long does it last? When is it released? Things like that, Phil.
Well, growth hormone is very interesting, and to some degree, it's kind of late science. What happened is they started giving growth hormone injections to children back in the 1940s and 50s, and they started getting great results. Children with dwarfism would start growing normally when they'd give those injections. But early on, there was a case of mad cow's disease, and that really curtailed the research in that area. But then in the early 70s, they started picking it back up again, and now there are 15,000 children being treated with growth hormone injections, and it's doing a wonderful, wonderful. It makes those kids grow normally. And all you have to do is talk to one parent with a child who was going to be 3 foot tall, and now they're growing normal with their classmates because of these injections. You know, it's wonderful. But then for some adults that are 90 who cannot exercise, then maybe there's a good, valid medical reason for those folks to take growth hormone injections. But all the middle-aged adults, they're using it simply to improve their appearance, to cut body fat. There's just a much, much better way. And what happens is the pituitary releases growth hormone, and it also releases another hormone called somatostatin, and it acts somewhat like a regulator to growth hormone. And growth hormone is released about 12 times a day, and it's released in pulses. So the goal from a fitness standpoint is try to increase the number and the volume of how much growth hormone is released in your body because of all the wonderful things that it does for you. And we know that the largest release of growth hormone occurs during sleep, about 2 hours into sleep or about 15 minutes into deep sleep is when the largest projection of growth hormone is released during the day. For instance, we've just found out recently that the medical researchers have discovered that people with chronic fatigue syndrome do not release growth hormone at night. And I've talked to a couple of subjects in clinical trials, and they just say, I'm cured. It's just wonderful. So exercise, diet, sleep, it's all interrelated and it's all tied in, I personally believe, to the pituitary and the way it releases growth hormone throughout the years. And basically the research shows that all the way up to age 90, and the only reason we say age 90 is because that's where the research stops today, that you can release growth hormone almost equal to your younger counterparts, but slightly diminished through the years, but only slightly. That's why you can go to any master's track meet. And Corey, you've seen these guys, you can go look at the sprinters, whether it's swimming or track and field or whatever, and all the sprinters that have maintained that fast twitch fiber and they've done anaerobic quick sprint type of exercise, most of them look about 30 years younger, they have full muscle, and they just look much, much better than folks their age.
Now, Phil, I believe you're right on the money. Our philosophy is exact. What I can see here with your strategy, two things come to mind. Number one, if you train correctly and cause a release of growth hormone, there's no real side effects compared to taking the growth hormone injection where side effects are a possibility. And two, you don't get conditioned by injection of growth hormone. Like when you're talking about exercise, you're talking about a complete program. So if you release growth hormone, you're getting full cardiovascular and systemic value from the training routine. Isn't that about right?
That's exactly right. And on top of that, for people that take growth hormone injections, essentially they are teaching their pituitary not to release growth hormone, not to store and release growth hormone, because you're getting it from this external substance. But when you do it with exercise, you're training your pituitary, if you will, to stay young. And it's almost like, a good analogy would be, when you're out there doing the anaerobic exercise, do weightlifting, like working your legs really hard, and you get good and tired and feel that burning sensation in your legs, or you're running or swimming sprints or cycling up a hill, when you hit that anaerobic piece, it's almost like training your pituitary to release and store more growth hormone to be released at a future date.
Okay, so now we know that intense exercise causes the release. Going for a walk won't do that. You'll expend a few calories. There's other value, like if you do a stretching program, etc. But you've got to have that intense training as part of the program. Now, what about the connection to food? How important is protein? What part of the equation does that connect to? And what about eating refined sugar?
Well, I tell you, food, diet has a strong connection with growth hormone release. And what we see in protein, and I know that you support the idea and our leader in the industry getting more protein, it does so many wonderful things for you. The research shows that on average, if someone will get about 25 grams of protein before, during, or after, and after is most convenient typically, but before, during, or after a workout, that you have a greater probability of having a more significant release of growth hormone during the workout. And protein is essential. I've had several people that I've talked with sleep problems. And essentially, when you talk to them, well, how much protein do you eat in the morning? They basically say, well, I get some carbs in the morning, or I miss breakfast all the way around. What about lunch? Well, sometimes I get a little protein. Well, what we know about protein is it takes sometimes all day for some of the amino acids to work within the brain to do things that it was designed to do. And so if you get protein early in the day, what it does all day long is it starts taking the amino acids, working together, and it builds melatonin for a natural release of melatonin, so you get a great, wonderful night's sleep at night if you get enough protein all day long. And I know two or three people that they've had significant sleep problems, and when they simply just added protein, it took care of their sleep problems. So protein does many more things than help on the growth hormone, but it is absolutely essential with growth hormone release to get enough protein. And also one of the amino acids, L-glutamine. And I know, Corey, you talk about that a lot, but you and I and a few others are talking about L-glutamine, but not that many people talk about it. The reason why, it's just so cheap. You know, you have more of that as a nutrient than any other amino acid. And what happens during exercise is it drops drastically. And there's a couple of studies. One study with marathoners shows that there's a syndrome with people running marathons, and many times they'll get colds, or really a bad sore throat, a bad infection, right after the marathon. And this one researcher had the idea, I think that's correlated with, you know, the way their body's assimilating protein and the lack of glutamine during the run. And so she supplemented half the group with glutamine. The other half did not, and it's one of those 100% studies. It is so clear that because those runners did not supplement with 2 grams of glutamine prior to the marathon, that's probably what caused the cold. And we also know that glutamine is so important in anti-aging and in other areas. But from the standpoint of growth hormone release, if you'll take 2 grams of glutamine before training, about 30 minutes to an hour, that will help facilitate the release of growth hormone.
So we engage with training, and that's going to facilitate a release. But if we understand the role of nutrition, things to do and not to do, then we can amplify the effect and even get more from it.
Well, and that's true. They show at the University of Virginia Medical Center and a couple other places that once growth hormone is released, that it will circulate for up to 2 hours. And there's actually a couple of studies out there that shows that there's a 3-hour synergy window, if you will, that you can burn body fat almost like you're still working out from the growth hormone. And that growth hormone, when it is in your body circulating from exercise, that it essentially attacks body fat. I mean, it's targeting body fat and it is the most powerful body fat reducing substance in your body. Many researchers consider it the most powerful hormone in the body, and clearly it is the anti-aging hormone. And what's great about it is that people can get it for free from exercise, and there's some supplements in the right type of nutrition program that you recommend, for instance, would help maximize that. So 2 hours after your workout, you can keep that growth hormone circulating as long as the glutamine before the workout, and also a high-fat meal about an hour before workout has been shown to curtail the release of growth hormone. But the number one way to stop growth hormone is to have an insulin jump. And insulin, as you well know, is tied to dietary sugar a lot of times. And so if you get a great growth hormone releasing workout and go out and eat a candy bar, then that releases a hormone called somatostatin. And somatostatin has one singular role, and that is to stop or regulate growth hormone. And so the very moment you've got growth hormone in there, you're looking for a 2 hour synergy window for the growth hormone to attack body fat and just pull it off like a heat-seeking missile, but you can stop it quickly by getting sugar after a workout.
Wow, that's great information. You know, this information is dynamite and life-saving, Phil, and I really commend you on the effort that you've put in. I'm a writer and a publisher, and I know what goes into the research, and your book is so nicely researched. Now, here's something that caught my eye. In Chapter 10, titled Tactical Weight Training, page 207, you asked the question as a title, Weight Training for Children. Now, I started at 12, and everyone at that time, this is back in the 60s or 70s or whatever, my coach has said, Corey, don't train with weights. It'll stunt your growth. You'll lose flexibility. Your heart will increase in size, put you at risk for heart disease. We all know these things are myths, and that's what the science says. But what's your take? What are you saying here in your book about weight training for children?
Well, what the research shows is that research has finally it's coming around to common sense now concerning weight training, and that is that it's great for you. Even on down in the ages, I mean, the recommendation from the pediatrician groups is not to do maximal reps at the young age, which is pretty much common sense. But yet what happens now, we have so many children that are so obese that the current recommendations of just a few years ago said, never do weights, do everything with your body weight. Well, some kids just can't do a pull-up. I mean, you're talking about lifting maybe 150 pounds for a child that can't do curls with 15 pounds. But then they could use weights and actually do curls, which is much lighter than doing a pull-up, and strengthen that muscle to the point that they can do exercise with body weight. So in a perfect world, all kids would be strong enough where they could, do all the exercises with body weight, but the truth of the matter is that they're not. And particularly in this society, where all the, MTV generation and everybody's sitting around playing video games, and the next thing they do, they look up, it's 4 hours later, and they're too tired to exercise, and it's time to go get some more fries. And it's just bad for kids. And so weight training for children ought to be a must. And what's really interesting, Corey, is that if I had to pick one exercise for women over 80, it would be weight training. And let me tell you why. There's one study out there right now that's just absolutely mind-boggling. They took several women with cardiac failure, and they divided them up in three groups. One group, they were treated with a current medication, and they were able to increase the ability of the heart to put oxygen into the blood by somewhere around 40%. They took one group and they put them on treadmills. They were able to increase, without medication, the ability to put oxygen back in the blood by 36%. But the one group that did weight training alone with no cardio, they improved, I believe it was a little bit over 55%. So if you look at that, women over age 80 in heart failure got more production from weight training than cardio or even the medication that's currently being given for that. And then you look at the osteoporosis issue, and clearly weight training is the solution. A lot of folks are talking about calcium, and calcium is important, but calcium without the weight training is almost, I'm not going to say wasted, but, it's not totally wasted, but there really needs to be the combination there. So if I had to pick one exercise for older women, it would be weight training. And it is clear in the research. It does so many wonderful things. But obviously, women don't need to wait till they're 80 years old to start weight training. That if they start right now at any age and add weights to their training program, that they will receive all kinds of wonderful benefits.
Excellent advice, Phil. You know, I especially liked your analogy and example of how a young person who can't do one chin-up could go into the weight room and with the cable system do pull-downs. And so there's a good example of how weight training can be used when in our minds we think, okay, well, kids can go to a playground and pull on the monkey bars. But you know what? A lot of kids aren't even doing that. So that was a really, really good practical example, and I appreciate that. Now, our time is up. Can you believe it, Phil?
Oh, I can't. I can't. I always enjoy talking to you, Corey.
You know,
and I always learn so much when I'm talking to you. And I tell you, I really do consider you one of the foremost sports nutritionist, weight training, fitness guys really in the world. And I hope your folks out there in Canada and really in the, you know, the folks that purchase products from you really understand what valuable information that you're giving to them, because so many times they hear pieces of information that's true, but it doesn't present the whole picture in a common sense form, and your method pulls it all together and it operationalizes it where people can understand it and they can do something with the information. And I just want to pat you on the back for the wonderful work that you're doing.
Okay, thanks very much, Phil. Now, the book, I want everyone out there who's listening to buy this book, to give it as a gift to your friends and family. It'll help change their life and raise them to a new standard of health, fitness, and wellness. Now, I know that the book is available right now. I've got a copy in my hand, Phil. Where can people buy this book?
Well, it's available in a lot of the bookstores, but probably the quickest way would be actually to go to the website for the book. It's ReadySetGoFitness.com, just one word, ReadySetGoFitness.com. And I also have a free newsletter that tracks the research in this area that they can sign up for at the website, and the book goes out within 24 hours generally. But then again, they can order it from their bookstore if they don't carry it. But many of the bookstores do have it. It's out now in the second edition. The second edition has been out about 3 months, and we're feel good about it. I received a letter from a 69-year-old from China the other day who wrote back, and he said, you know the growth hormone releasing exercise program works because I feel my legs feel stronger now than they did when I was young. And that really, because you know, you don't think about the English-speaking folks in China, but really there are a few there, and we've sold several books in China.
That's outstanding. And also, there is a link on my website under the links page that will take you to Phil's website. So keep that in mind. And also, just finally, with a couple of thoughts here on the book, Ready, Set, Go. The way that you've mapped it out with chapters under those three different titles, that comes to mind as just a young person in school. Ready, Set, Go, with the race that we all understand, that connection. So that, I think that's also a very well thought out plan, Phil. Our time is up. We've got to go. Can you leave us with a couple of words of inspiration, Phil, that everyone will take to heart?
Well, I tell you, Corey, we have some research now that is so exciting, because what it says is there is a cure for the middle-aged blimp out. There's a cure for it. Its official name is the somatopause. You can get growth hormone injections, which are not recommended, and I personally think very unwise, except in a few applications where physicians are involved and it's a well thought out decision over a long period of time. But you can do the same thing, and you can cure the middle-aged blimp out and do so many wonderful things for your body by adding high intensity exercise. There's study after study that shows low intensity exercise, moderate intensity exercise does nothing concerning longevity. It absolutely does nothing. You have to step into the higher intensities before you see a statistical impact in longevity. And when you tie it back and look at the way growth hormone is released from exercise, then you start seeing that there's a theme there, and that is if people can spend three and a half hours a week, and that's really not a lot of time, but 3.5 hours a week in high-intensity exercise that's comprehensive, that includes anaerobic exercise, that includes weight training, it includes some flexibility training with stretching and some cardio for endurance training, that you'll get great, wonderful results.
Phil Campbell, thank you very much, and I really appreciate the work that you're doing, and keep it up.
Corey, thank you so much, and have a great day.
Okay, Phil, bye-bye.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHolly.com or call us toll-free at 1-866-922-2229. This is Lisa Holly, wishing you the very best of health and wellness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.